Draft guru Sean Sullivan is back with another edition of Best in Class, running you through the NFL, looking at the performances of rookies all over the league and young players. And of course, Sean weighs in on his beloved Bucks. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in the greatest city in the world, Tampa, Florida. We are 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium, and we are a 65-year-old, fourth-generation now business serving the Tampa Bay community. And we have a brand new facility opening in about a week called the Ford Pro Elite to service all of your heavy-duty fleet and fleet services. So if you own a business right now and you're like, every time I go to service, I have to be in with all the soccer moms and everyone else getting an oil change. Listen, we need those people to help maintain our business. We need the retail business. But I understand as a fleet customer, you have a business. You have 10 vehicles that are on the road every day serving the community. Don't worry. We built a separate facility just for you. You are not going to be mixed with retail anymore. You are absolutely just with fleet. We have time limits on everything that we're doing right now. We're going to get your vehicle back on the road for your routes, for your deliveries, for whatever you're using your vehicles for. You have your own service department now, and it's called the Ford Pro Elite, and you can find it online, and you can, and it also has mobile. So not only do we do free mobile services, so we're not charging you for the mobile. So right now, we've been doing that for retail. Now, on the fleet side, we're going to be able to do businesses. So let's just say you have 10 vehicles that at 8 in the morning go out and do work. It's okay because we'll come at 7 in the morning and change all the oil so that your vehicles never have to miss any time on the road right now. It's a fantastic service, and I can't wait for all the businesses in Tampa to get involved. I couldn't believe the number. 7,000 businesses in the city of Tampa, in our PMA, 7,000 businesses have 10 or more Ford vehicles in their fleet. That is an incredible number. And thank you so much for the support for Ford Motor Company and for Bill Curry Ford. We have a lot of stuff going on. It's the end of the year. Right now, you could take advantage of the no sales tax. So if you're using your business for 51%, if you're using your vehicle for business, at least at 51%, you can write off the interest of all of your loans with now the big, beautiful bill is taking care of that for businesses. Okay, so right now we have so many things going on for the end of the year, including the 0-0-0. Obviously, zero interest is a big topic right now. The rates were just lowered by the Fed. We had inflation now at 2.7%, the lowest it's been in over three decades. So there's a lot going on right now in the economy. There's a lot of deals going on. We have a bunch of 2025 vehicles that need to be launched out of here. We have deals starting at $10,000 below MSRP for the end of the year, especially on F-Series. We are moving out, ready for 2026. So visit BillCurryFord.com, see if all of our amazing specials. Follow us at all of the social media sites, Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I've done my job. Let's get into football. Okay. So I was going to start with obviously the Falcons game, but I really feel like we need to discuss the New Orleans game first, and then we'll walk into the Atlanta game, and then we'll go through the week in the NFL. So I don't know about anybody else, but my first impression of the New Orleans game was when I saw Tyler Shuck run 31 yards into the end zone for a touchdown. I on a team, by the way, that was scoring 13 points a game prior to the Buccaneers game. I was looking at it going, that's Hill. I never for once thought that that was Tyler Shuck, who is basically the modern-day Mike Glennon. I never thought that that could be him. So I'm watching the television, and I'm taking notes, and I see the touchdown, and I'm like, okay, Jason Hill, I'm writing in there, like, Jason Hill just murders the Bucs. Every time we play him, it seems like this guy makes his money on the Bucs. And then they go, Tyler Shuck with the touchdown, and I'm like, no way. There's no way that this guy just ran 30 yards for a touchdown. I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I'm still now 2 weeks removed trying to figure this out. Where the hell were the linebackers? Where was the safeties? Like, you let Mike Glennon run up the sideline, right, for 30 yards and a touchdown. The guy had two rushing touchdowns on the game, and he hasn't had any rushing touchdowns in his career. I talked about the fact that Todd Bowles should be releasing the defense right now. You know, I was so upset after that game that I was like, I just don't want to do a podcast. I was emotional and upset, and I'm like, you guys don't need another person just screaming and yelling about the team, right? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's give it a few days. I gave it a few days. Then I had to leave town for business. Then I came back, and I was just like, you know what? I just can't do the podcast for this week. I can't do it. I can't wrap my head around it. I was so dumbfounded by that New Orleans game that I just couldn't believe how poorly New Orleans is as a team, how they have nobody playing for their team, and they beat us. And the fact that they screwed up their draft position is the only good part of this entire process. I'm thinking to myself, okay, New Orleans has absolutely destroyed their draft position the last 2 weeks. And, you know, it makes perfect sense because the Bucks did it for 14 seasons where we would be out of the playoffs, and when for some reason we would win our last two games every year when the other teams were smart enough to lay down. And for draft position, we would always end up with 5 wins, and that 5 wins would take us to out of the top 10, usually in the draft. The stupidity of what New Orleans did, they should have been closer to what the Cardinals did. When the Cardinals, for all those conspiracy theories out there, listen, the Cardinals' play calling on that last drive 100% was to tank. If you guys think for a second that they had no timeouts and they didn't tell their receivers and running backs, please run to the sideline, don't try to get extra yards, and they literally ran the clock out, it's probably the worst play calling I've ever seen. And now, remember, during the game, their offense was moving against us. They actually knew effectively what to do. I think they purposely didn't win that game. That's my opinion for those conspiracy theorists. If you go back and just look at the series of 4 plays in a row when they got the ball back and they could have won the game, they literally did nothing. And it wasn't because Todd Bowles screamed at the defense. It was watch the play calls. Go back and just look at the play call. The play calls were awful. And I'm looking at this New Orleans game and I'm going, okay, there's no way that New Orleans is going to want to win this game. It absolutely hurts them. They need too many pieces for this team. To get beat by New Orleans is beyond embarrassing. That team has nothing, right? So then somehow we let them hang around, and then they won, and then they win the next week. It just makes no sense to me what they're doing. But again, it's New Orleans, so I hope they draft every worst player in the NFL draft, and I hope they never sport a good team, and I hope that the NFL has to retract their team because they're so bad. I can't stand New Orleans. Terrible city, terrible people, terrible team. Anyway, so getting to the Atlanta game. So we lost this Atlanta game 29-28. Everybody saw what happened. The defense, again, the Bucks scored 28 points. There's no excuse to lose a game if the Bucks can score 4 touchdowns. There's just no excuse. A backup quarterback, Kirk Cousins, he's absolutely terrible the 2 weeks prior that I watched. So I'm watching him. I watch every game. I watch every snap of every game. He's absolutely shell-shocked, dances in the pocket, inaccurate, can't hit the broadside of a barn, throws interceptions, and then I watch him against the Bucks, and he looks like Joe Montana. Stands in one spot, doesn't move, never worries about getting hit, delivers the ball on time with accuracy. I'm just watching. I watched Pitts, you know, destroy us in the first half, and watched Todd Bowles make 0 adjustments until halftime after a lot of the damage was done. Where you put a linebacker, you drop a linebacker shallow flat, and then you put a safety over top, and that stops the tight end. And then because they didn't have Drake London, you're forced to throw to a West Virginia converted quarterback, converted to wide receiver, that you'll never, ever hear from again. Destroy us. David Sills was a quarterback in college. He is a converted wide receiver. 6 catches, 78 yards. 6 catches, 78 yards. Bijan, 8 catches, 82 yards. Again, that's off-the-ball linebackers that can't play. We have no off-the-ball linebackers. They can't play anymore, right? Kyle Pitts, 11 receptions, 166 yards, and 3 TDs. Do you know what's interesting about Kyle Pitts' 3 TDs? Because that's what he averages per 18 games. Or I'm sorry, now 17 games. The last 3 seasons, the 17-game seasons, he's averaged 3 touchdowns for the entire season. He had a hat trick in one game because we can't figure out how to double team and take away the short and the long of the throws. And it boggles my mind that you can have a veteran like Todd Bowles. And I don't care. I literally heard a press conference where he said, it's on the players. we can't really coach anymore. Like, we've coached them, and this is all we can do, and they're not listening to us anymore. When the coach says the players aren't listening to me, you have to be let go. And I listen, Todd Bowles is an outstanding human being. Let's make no mistake. This is a pillar of the Tampa community, a strong Christian man, a strong leader of men, raising terrific children in our community. His son went to Jesuit. We're talking about a terrific human being who probably just needs to retire and enjoy what, because he's given his life to football. But what we're watching right now, it can't be good for him physically, and it can't be good for him mentally, watching what's happening. He's lost a team. I think it's obvious, and it's rough to watch. It really is. Now, we're going to get healthy, and if we don't win when we're healthy, it's going to be hard for him to keep his job. If we beat Carolina this week and Miami's laying down, Miami's starting Ewers over Zach Wilson, so they hopped. They're starting their third quarterback on the roster. They skipped their backup on purpose because they want to lose that game for draft position. So basically, and then we go back into Carolina. So we have a chance to finish our season with 10 wins. There's no excuse. Carolina's not a good football team. I don't care what anybody says. Their quarterback's not good. They have some wide receivers. They have an okay running game. Their offensive line has injuries, and their defense is one of the worst in the NFL. There's really nothing to discuss. Oh, but Sean, I don't care. Stop. Just stop. They have no pass rush. They have one of the worst pass rushers in the NFL. So there's no excuses. Getting back to the Falcons game, I have to say this. So we have a quarterback that's 6 foot tall. He's short for NFL standards. And one of the biggest keys, and I talked to a former Buccaneer, and a very, very famous former Buccaneer at a charity dinner. And basically, we talked about Drew Brees because obviously, you know, it's hard to talk to them about football that's going on now because you don't want them to say anything about the team or the players or what's going on because these are current, you know, things. So what we do is usually when you talk about, you know, Drew Brees or you talk about like the who they played and who their favorite quarterback was. One of the things we talked about was how Drew Brees countered his height by having interior protection. So the New Orleans Saints were successful because their center and two guards were the highest paid in football, and they kind of didn't really care about their tackles because of Drew Brees. Drew Brees cannot get interior pressure because he can't see. So you're throwing into lanes kind of blind. Your anticipatory throws, kind of like what Baker does, where he throws the ball so far in advance because he has to. We're getting so much interior pressure right now –